Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Pregnancy Confidential, week 29, what a C-section is really like. Pregnancy Confidential is a girlfriend-to-girlfriend, real talk podcast from the folks at Parents Magazine, where we have your back and bump through all 40 weeks. I'm Dana Points, I'm the editor of Parents, and with me today is...
I'm Chandra Turner, I'm the executive editor at Parents.
And...
Diane Dubrovner, I'm the deputy editor of Parents Magazine.
And Diane is bravely... volunteered to be our C-section case study for today, because I cannot personally speak to a C-section. I didn't have one.
I did not either.
Last week, we talked about what you can really expect from a natural or unmedicated vaginal birth, but not all births happen that way. So we're going to continue on the path of getting you prepared for your big day and tackle the C-section, what really happens and how you'll recover from the surgery. It's always a good idea to go to birth prepared for anything, because it's really almost impossible to predict how your labor and delivery is going to go down. The good news is, if you do have a C-section, we live in a time when you have a very high chance of it going smoothly, and you are going to deliver a bouncing, beautiful, healthy baby quickly and efficiently. And many moms now actually look back on this C-section experience as a positive one. But before we get into it too deeply, let's talk about something a little lighter, which is our favorite topic. How big is your baby this week? At week 29, your baby is the size of, come on, anybody?
A butternut squash. We love squash. A
butternut squash. Yeah, we've had all different sizes of squash.
Or cauliflower.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Or one of my favorite things, a buttercream frosted birthday cake.
Oh, those can come in lots of different sizes.
And frostings. But note, I specify buttercream
frosting. Like a 9-inch? Does that affect the size?
No, I just like buttercream. Anyway, if you want more details on what's going on with your baby this week, or even day by day, you can sign up for our daily pregnancy email at parents.com/pregnancydaily, and we'll give you the scoop.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
A C-section, or a cesarean section, is when a baby is surgically delivered through an incision in a woman's abdomen and uterus. Usually this happens with the mom awake, but completely numb from the waist down. Sometimes you know you're having a C, it's an elective C, or, you know, your doctor's told you you're going to need one. Other times you get a C-section on a sort of emergency basis when something goes astray in the pregnancy, or they discover that a vaginal delivery isn't possible, or the baby is in some kind of distress. Whatever the reason, C-sections are super common. Nearly a third of all deliveries in the U.S. are by C-section. So if you've been telling yourself, oh, there's virtually no chance I could have a C-section, you would be wrong. Let's talk about what happens when you have one. I mean, Diane, did you know you were going to have a C-section, or was it?
I've had two C-sections.
Yeah.
And the first one was a surprise, and the second one was expected, but also surprisingly early. Mm-hmm. With my first daughter, I was 2 weeks late. I was 42 weeks, and I don't even think they let you go 42 weeks anymore. And actually, my father is an OBGYN, and he wasn't practicing obstetrics anymore. And he was saying, give her a C-section, give her a C-section. And my doctor said, every woman deserves the opportunity to go through labor. And so I was induced, and I had this Prostin gel that they put on your cervix first. And I chugged along overnight, and then they gave me Pitocin, and then I went into labor, and then the baby's heart rate went down significantly, and they decided that the baby was in distress. So I had a C-section then. And it turned out that the umbilical cord was wrapped around her neck three times.
Oh, my God.
And so she couldn't go anywhere. Every time she tried to move, she was stuck. And so she stayed there. And everything turned out fine, and she was perfectly healthy. But I have positive memories of my C-section. I remember saying that was rather civilized. Mm-hmm. And I didn't go into the process having these idealized vision of what my labor and delivery was going to be like. And the baby was here, and that's really what mattered. And I remember my husband sitting next to me. You know, they put a curtain up sort of right in the middle of your chest, so you can't see any of the operation going on. You could sort of see the doctor and the nurse's heads. And when they were sewing me up, my husband was holding my daughter right next to me, sitting next to my head. And I thought that was actually really sweet, and I got to see her.
The cool thing now that they offer in many hospitals when they do a C is, instead of a curtain that you can't see through, they use a clear drape. And so that way you actually get to see the baby come out. So just to walk you through what might likely happen if you're going to have a C-section, if, like Diane, you've been through, you know, an effort to have labor, you might learn that you're having a C-section after you've already been given an epidural. But if you haven't had any anesthesia and you need a C-section, you're going to get a spinal, an epidural, or in rare cases, a general anesthetic. If you don't already have a catheter in, you're going to have a catheter placed, and that's a tiny tube that's going to collect the urine while you have no control over your bladder. And then your doctor makes an incision in the abdomen wall. Now, the most common type of incision is a horizontal one. It's called a bikini cut, and it's just above the pubic bone. In an emergency, you're probably more likely to have a vertical incision, which goes from your belly button down to the pubic area, because that's going to get that baby out faster.
I had a bikini incision, and yeah. Mine was a,
and yours was a
relative
rush,
emergency.
Rush.
So
yeah, so it could be either one. And the bikini is definitely more common. So then after they make that external incision, they're going to make an incision in the uterine wall, and the doctor is going to suction out the amniotic fluid and deliver the baby head first so that the baby's mouth and nose can be cleared so that it can breathe. And then once the baby's out, you're going to get to see her. In your case, was your daughter like passed off to the nurse? You think she cleaned her up and then gave her
yes.
back to your husband?
I
yeah,
think that, you know,
that's pretty typical.
The sewing up process does take about 15 minutes or so. So there's some time
right.
for them to clean the baby up and then
right.
pass
and then
her
you
off.
Get to be distracted by her.
And they have to get your placenta out. And there's this sort of this bizarre tugging sensation that you feel because you are, you know, there is anesthesia going on, but you do feel
yeah.
some sort of activity
yeah.
going on.
Although
down
having,
there.
Although having had the placenta delivered after a vaginal birth, I can tell you, like, they're like, okay, now it's time to deliver the placenta. And then we're going to lean like hell on your abdomen until it comes out. So it's not like, you know, it's any more blissful. And I mean, at the end of the day, you don't notice that you're completely distracted by this baby. So, you know, after they deliver the baby and they pass it off to the nurse, just the way they would if you had a vaginal delivery, you get that placenta out and then get stitched up. And that's kind of the yeah. step-by-step. Hopefully there's not too much mystery now for you.
I do so. My second time, I went to my last visit, and they determined that I didn't have enough amniotic fluid left. And they said, you're going to have your baby today. And I had a week left to work. I wasn't ready. And, you know, I wasn't in labor. I was just going, and I had to walk into the operating room by myself. I remember I was naked, lying on the table.
Oh, my God.
Really strange. And then the anesthesiologist came in and gave me my spinal, and it was sort of like, hey, walk into your own C-section. And then it proceeded sort of similarly after that.
But the idea that you could actually walk in.
Yeah, it was weird.
Bizarre. Now, let's talk a little bit about the recovery, because it can be tough, right? I mean, you've had essentially abdominal surgery, which is one of the harder ones to recover from.
The most important thing is to try to move as much as you can, as soon as you can. I mean,
which
you
is
really,
kind of probably the last thing you want to do.
Yeah, you know, you could definitely lie there in bed and you get some extra time in the hospital, but the key is to really just try to sit up as soon as you can and to swing your legs around and to stand up. And I remember walking up and down the hallway in the hospital probably on day two, mm-hmm. I think. And I have to say, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. I think being somewhat in shape before you deliver probably helps.
Mm-hmm. In the beginning, you can't go up and down stairs. So that means before you're left alone with that baby, you're going to need to have all your kind of equipment on one floor in your house if you have a multi-floor house.
Right. But you definitely do deserve a little extra help and someone to bring you the things that you need when you need them.
And so. I think you do, as you said, you do get to stay in the hospital longer. Like with an uncomplicated vaginal delivery, I think you have to be out by 48 hours, right? And then if you have a C, it's at least 72 hours.
And the advantage of that is that your milk is more likely to come in while you're in the hospital. Sometimes you can go home before you've actually really had the milk come in and have the opportunity to really nurse. And I remember when my milk came in, I was there and there was a nurse there who was really able to help me. So I was appreciative of that.
That's fantastic. And then you miss the episiotomy. Let's look on the bright side.
Yes. That's true.
Or tearing. Sometimes now the philosophy is just let the person tear. And probably not a lot of pain during the birth because you are, numb from the waist down. So there's some positives to that.
I do know that the women who are really the most wiped out are the ones who really go through a long labor.
Right.
And then at the end of hours and hours and hours and hours, it turns out that they need a C-section. And so then they sort of have the double whammy of having been through the exhausting process of labor and the surgery. So that, I think that's the toughest situation.
So, listeners, what do you think about a C-section? Are you already planning one, or are you eager to avoid one? Tweet us at Parents Magazine with the hashtag PregnancyConfidential. This week's Relax You've Got This is about the dreaded varicose veins, what they're like, how to avoid them, and whether there's something you can even treat. If you've noticed bluish, reddish, or purple lines or bulges on your legs during your pregnancy, it's probably varicose veins. And this is super common. It's a mix of the uterus as it grows with that baby in there is putting more pressure on your lower body because varicose veins are really lower body stuff. You have all this blood volume, blood circulation that's happening because you're pregnant. And then these veins run in the family. So if your mom had them when she was pregnant, or has them now, you might have them too. They're most common in the legs, but you can also get them in, of all places, the vulva or the rectum. Now, when they're in the rectum, they're called hemorrhoids, which I did not know that a hemorrhoid was really just a varicose vein. That
I did not
fascinating.
Either.
A hemorrhoid by any other name. No.
I was right.
I was going to get poetic, but I just couldn't. I couldn't get poetic. So you might not feel them. I can't remember which pregnancy it was, but I was... The doctor, I went for a checkup and she's like, wow, you have quite a hemorrhoid there. I'm like, really? I had no idea. So you might not feel them, or they can be itchy and sore like the way that the classic hemorrhoids are. They're not pretty. They're bluish, reddish. But the good news is they usually go away after you deliver. So how do you prevent them? Don't sit or stand for long periods without taking a break. Try not to sit with your legs crossed. Try to put your feet up as much as possible. Elevate your legs on pillows when you're in bed. You can go out and get a pair of those
very attractive
granny style compression stockings. And then it might seem weird to say this because we've been talking about, not standing too much, but exercise, right? You need to get the blood flowing because it's pooling in those veins. So I did not have varicose veins. Did either of you guys?
I think they like to call spider veins. Mm. It's not quite varicose, like little teeny tiny ones on the side of my legs.
Yeah.
Those got worse.
They got worse.
But they weren't really unsightly.
Unrelated, but sort of related. I had strange tingling electrical shock things at my legs when I was pregnant. Also apparently really normal.
Now, if they don't go away after you've had your baby, there are treatments for them. It's not like just a cream that you rub on. It's kind of surgical. So I guess if they're not painful and you think like you're going to get pregnant again, maybe try to wait until you have your next child, because then when the dust settles, you can figure out whether you really want to go through the trouble of having them fixed.
It's not always surgical. Like sometimes they use lasers, and I think the small ones, they inject saline solution into them.
That's true. I'm thinking about that stripping procedure.
I didn't want to even use that word. I don't know why. I can talk about birth and everything else, but like stripping of your veins.
That sounds terrible.
Yes, it does sound terrible.
And it's expensive. And in some cases, it's considered cosmetic. So you can just forget about that getting covered. They can be unsightly and they can hurt sometimes, varicose veins. But if it's just during your pregnancy, just wait and see. It might go away all by itself. And it's not super serious. So you can relax. That's it for Pregnancy Confidential for today. Our producer is Sarah Abdurrahman. Thanks also to Laura Mayer and Andy Bowers at Panoply. We hope you let us know what you think of the show. Find us on Twitter at Parents Magazine, Facebook at facebook.com/parentsmagazine, or Instagram at, of course, Parents Magazine. And if you like the show, I hope you'll tell a friend and subscribe to us for yourself in iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. Don't forget to leave a rating, because ratings are one way that other people learn about us, and we want to reach them. Unlike other podcasts, you don't need to wait a week for the next episode. If you want to take a look at what might be right around the corner in the next few weeks, go ahead, listen right now.